Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Ben Elton has a memoir, What Have I Done? My autobiography. Now, you could read that in a couple of ways, couldn't you?
Yeah, you did it rather well. I like that. What have I done?
Yeah, what have you done? Or you've done a lot. An awful lot.
Hmm.
How proud are you of what you've done?
I don't take a lot of pride. I'm proud that I've always done my best, and some of the stuff was very, very successful, and a lot of stuff wasn't. And the truth is, I'm as proud of the stuff that wasn't as the stuff that was, because I always thought it was brilliant at the time. People may, you know, may not have been, but I know that I never put anything out that I didn't think was great. I'm proud looking, but having written the biography, because I'm not a very reflective person at all. I never have. I never really thought about my motivations, never really stopped for a moment to either enjoy or fear anything that I've just always been sort of motivated by a desire to write. And that's carried me through a long lifetime of doing just that. And this is the first lengthy period of reflection I've never been to a therapist. I've never looked at myself in any way. And I think what I am proud of is that friendships made in, you know, massive pressure of work, you know, the comedy clubs and studios and things have endured. And so I'm proud of the friendships that I made during my creative life and which have all endured. I don't know.
A good thing to be able to say, rather than actually reciting to me a list of work? And I can think of things like Blackadder, which I want to talk to you about. You know, things that a lot of people still have an enormous affection for and respect for, that what you've chosen to do is talk about the people and the friendships you've made.
Well, that's certainly writing the book that I thought a lot about it. And of course, it kind of started with one of the friendships I lost, but I didn't lose. Well, I lost because Rick Mayall died
early,
and that was the first real genuinely major bereavement of my life. I mean, as you get older, they start to stack up a bit, but it was a particularly tragic one because Rick was far too young and his life was very unfinished. And I was a part of the bit that was finished and I was a big part of the bit that wasn't, because I always thought he and I would work together again. So, yeah, I mean, for me, the projects have always been the people I've worked with. I mean, sometimes if I'm writing a novel, then that's a very private thing and it's really just me and the reader. But where the fun's been has been all the collaborations, not just writing collaborations with Richard Curtis, but more writing towards talent. You know, I've been so lucky that I've been able to look at a talent like Rowan Atkinson or Rick Mayall or Jennifer and Dawn or French and Saunders and writing for their particular comic muse. So, yeah, I do think about the people, not the projects. And, of course, it would be pretty crass to say, hey, I'm so proud because lots of people like that. Of course, it's amazing that Blackadder in particular and a few other projects besides have kind of sort of entered the language a bit. But every project is a community effort. It does take a village to do anything decent. We live in a world where everybody looks to strong, mainly men, you know, directors, the director. I always think it's weird that directors say a so-and-so film, you know, because obviously we all know it's a massive collection of talents and that make a film. So, yeah, I think about the people. Long answer to your point.
Okay, but let's take Blackadder. Now, there may be a generation of people listening to us who are not familiar with Blackadder, but there are people of my age group, your age group, who remember it with great, great affection and how important it was to them. But that actually, as I think about it, as well as the tremendous humour on it, was a collection of incredible talent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a collective. And indeed, as I say, most all film and television, all theatre, is the result of a collective. It really does take a village, and particularly a studio sitcom, which The Blackadder was, which is a form which has now become sort of almost sneered at because of the success of single camera work like the like The Office, which is a great piece of work. But it's a funny thing, particularly in Britain, where if we want to say something's good, we almost seem to inevitably say we have to sort of say something's bad. And studio sitcoms, the art form, the purely television art form, one of the only art forms, I think, that television developed entirely independently, is the studio sitcom, which is part theatrical in that you present live a half-hour playlet, but it's also very film and TV in that it's recorded, 8 or 9 cameras, mics hanging over people's heads, being vision mixed as you go along, and the audience is part of the community of the piece because their laughter, and it's not recorded, it really is, it's not taped, it really is recorded. The audience is part of the actor's timing. So, yes, Blackadder was created by a community. I mean, obviously, Richard and I wrote the scripts and the actors acted it, but so many people enable a good piece of work to happen. And I think one of the reasons sitcoms, studio sitcoms, live in the imaginations of communities more than any other television form. Nobody loves, you know, drama or even sport as much as, you know, from Steptoe and Son to Friends, to Dad's Army. I think part of the reason people love them is because I think they can sense that they're a part of it. They're almost in that studio audience. And Blackadder was a studio sitcom. We did them except for the first episode series, which I wasn't involved in. We did them in front of people, and people laughed. And that's when Rowan gets a laugh, that he's timing that laugh with real people.
How much stand-up do you do now?
I do, well, it's a whole different part. That's individual. There's no community of friends involved there. That's the most subjective part of my creative life. And I took 15 years off because I wanted to be part of my children's upbringing. And when you're on the road, you can be gone for 3-4 months. But I love it as a writer. I'm so grateful that I do have this facility to perform. Not all writers do, but well, few writers do. But it allows me to have this very subjective part of my creative life where I'm not working objectively. I'm not working through the fiction of characters and the voices I've invented for other points of view. This is me. You know, I'm standing in my truth, as young people say, and I'm up to my neck in it. So I love it as an art form, and I feel more committed to it now than I did when I was young. And I've returned to it about 6 years ago and done 2 big tours since then. In fact, I did a night at the Royalty only a couple of years ago, had a lovely night here. Stand-up, I think, is a great medium for ideas. It's a great way to see the funny side of reality. That's certainly how I like to see it anyway. I don't really tell jokes. I develop comic riffs around that which inspires, outrages, interests me. It could be my own small foibles as a balding old man, or it could be my fury at the internet or Donald Trump. Who knows? Whatever I'm talking about.
What fury do you have at the internet?
I hate it. I wish it had never been invented. I think I knew it 25 years ago. I used to have massive rows with my dear friend Stephen Fry, who's something of an evangelist for technology, although he's definitely, his view has matured, shall we say. Oh, I knew immediately that this wasn't the gateway to an endless democratization of intellect and ideas. I knew it would be a way for lies to be spread even quicker. Look, of course, I use SatNav. Am I a hypocrite? Of course we all use it. I couldn't get on a plane anymore without using it. I mean, I'm not a Luddite. I'm not trying to smash the digital spinning Jenny. But I think that, you know, look, if somebody invented a drug that would capture the minds of young people and hold their minds in its thrall and reduce their attention span and effectively deprive them of a childhood, well, we'd ban it, wouldn't we? But Steve Jobs launches the iPhone and we're all cheering and calling him a saint. Look, as I say, I'm not a Luddite. I know there's a lot of good to be had out of this technology, but I don't think the end of truth is a sufficiently good bargain for SatNav.
and then moving on, what about streaming and how it seems to be ending traditional broadcast television?
Well, it has, really. I mean, I still use old media because I'm not on any form of social media, but I recognise if I was a young artist, I would have to. There would be no choice. You don't have a choice. If you're trying to make your way in the world, you must utilise social media and internet. I have no argument with that. Fortunately, I had a career that predated it, and I'm just still in. I can get on the radio. Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it because it's the only way I can tell people, you know, about what I'm doing at the moment. Streaming is part of the internet. I mean, I'm talking about the whole the social media age, and it to me self-evidently it is not and will not increase the sum of human happiness. There is without doubt many advantages and things to be had, and AI will probably find a cure for cancer, but it also is going to put us all out of work, and I think the price is too high. So let's not necessarily, I don't want to depress your listeners. I will be reading the newspaper on my phone just like everybody else.
You haven't changed in many respects, have you? You still have the same drive and energy as you've always had, have you?
I don't think until dementia grabs us, as it will all of us inevitably, because the medical profession seems to be dedicated to keeping us all alive until our brains have disappeared and only our hearts keep beating. Another subject, I did a long riff on it at the Royalty just on my last tour. I don't think I've changed. I don't think anybody changes. I think we're all made in our early 20s. You become what you are very young, and you can change a bit and learn a bit. Some wisdom maybe, but you still like the same music and you still have the same views. I don't feel, most people say I'm 21 inside, and I think we all feel that.
Okay, and the book is a big book, isn't it?
Yeah,
you've packed a lot in.
It's not, and it's not all in it. My wife took 40,000 words out of it before it even went to the publisher. So there you go. Yeah, it's my life. It's a proper show. It's a proper memoir. I mean, you know, with respect, you know, most of the days these days you do your bio when you're at your most famous, which tends to be when you're in your 20s, you know, and all you can talk about is your battle with 3 pints of lager each night. You know, oh my God, I was nearly an alcoholic. No, I waited until I'd lived my life before I wrote my memoir, and it's most of my life. I mean, there might be one extra chapter, you never know, but if I'm lucky to get a bit more work. But yeah, it's a longish book. There's a lot of good stories in it. If you want to know about me saving Stephen Fry's life, that's a good chapter.
Well, tell us, give us a little bit of an example.
I've met and worked with so many people, and yeah, that was a great chapter. He had a dreadful reaction to a Belgian beer. We were alone in his, it was actually in Douglas Adams' flat, which he was flat sitting at the time. So it was a very long night. But as his parents said, when they wrote me a beautiful letter over, thank goodness you were there. And frankly, had I not been there, he'd be dead. And what would everyone's fantasy dinner parties be like then?
Hold on a second. Was it a reaction to one beer? Or was it a reaction to
He had an asthmatic situation, and it provoked it. He was God knows, I don't think I've ever seen him drink beer apart from then. But anyway, it's all in the book.
many stories. What have I done? My autobiography. Ben Elson, great meeting you. Thank you very much for joining us.
I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.